Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Our starting line on the sunny side of sports is African athletics. Ethiopia swept the men's and women's titles at a big road race in Nigeria. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as African club football news, in this report from Abuja, Nigeria.
Ethiopia's Leo Gebrselassie won the 10-kilometer 2017 Opepe International Road Race in Edo State, South Nigeria. Gebrselassie finished in 29 minutes, 26 seconds to also clinch the top prize of $15,000. In the female category, Azamara Gaburu completed the race in 33 minutes, 59 seconds and took the top prize of $15,000.
The Voice of America, VOA.
The results of the first leg of matches played at the weekend in the CAF Confederations Cup. Title holders TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo made a winning Group D debut on Sunday by defeating CF Mwanana of Gabon 2-0 in Lubumbashi. In the other Group D game played on Friday, SuperSport United of South Africa and Haroya of Guinea drew 2-2 in Pretoria. A penalty and an own goal helped Club African of Tunisia to a 3-1 Group A victory over Rivers United of Nigeria in raids on Sunday. Former Confederation Cup winners FCUS Rabat of Morocco lead Club African on goal difference after a comfortable 3-0 home win over KCCA of Uganda late on Saturday. Platinum Stars of South Africa and Mouloudia Elja of Algeria played a dull 1-1 Group B draw before a small crowd in the mining town of Rotenburg. Platinum and Mouloudia are 2 points behind record three-time winners CS Sfaxien of Tunisia, who overcame Mbabane Swallows of Swaziland, Recreativo Libolo of Angola, top Group C with Zesco United of Zambia after a dramatic 1-0 home victory over Al Hilal Obied of Sudan. The second leg of the fixtures is set for May 23rd and 24th. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
In pro boxing, former world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko has been relaxing with family in Florida recently, following his 11th round TKO loss to Anthony Joshua before 90,000 fans at Wembley Stadium in London. Joshua and Klitschko signed a contract that gives Klitschko an option for a rematch. Reports say he's expected to decide by early June whether to fight Joshua again. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, says he rates Joshua Klitschko among his five greatest world heavyweight title fights. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2017, let's listen in again to Namdi's hard-hitting commentary on the big bout.
Brutal, bloody, cagey fight, and it was unbelievable. Everything before the round five was just filling out, you know. But when Anthony Joshua dropped Klitschko with a hook, man, that was just like nobody believed that Klitschko would get up. Even you could see Anthony Joshua raising his hand and celebrating that knockdown, thinking it was all over. And I was really worried for him because, you know, we were talking about fighting an empty tank because he kind of pushed for the knockdown in the fifth round. And when you force the knockout as a fighter, you put in a lot of pressure on yourself and you leave yourself wide open.
Vladimir Klitschko did get up after that knockdown, Namdi. Remarkable comeback by the 41-year-old Klitschko. Let's move to round six, where he knocks down Joshua. What happened there?
Sonny, round six had me running to my medicine box for my Tylenol. It was a scary round. I thought the fight would have been over after the sixth round knockdown. But watching him getting off the canvas and holding on, it was a scary moment. Right there, I believe, right there I said to myself, this is the grand poob of boxing because he was out. Remember that before the fight, we talked about jello legs. We talked about spaghetti legs. He was wobbly. One more punch from Klitschko, it would have been over completely because he had to like regroup and then come back because he was out in the sixth. Because, Sonny, remember, he has never been knocked down. He has never kissed the canvas, you know. To be able to pull yourself back, come back up, and then fight on. Yes, that was a good one. That was a very scary round, Sonny. It was a very scary round.
Namdi, let's listen to what Klitschko had to say after he knocked down AJ, because he thought he was going to win at that point.
He managed to get up. Respect. And, well, from that moment, I kind of felt that he's out of gas and in concentration, and he recovered, though, through the rounds. I think I could have done more to finish him up, maybe, right after when he went down. But I was pretty sure that that's going to be my night, so I took my time.
Klitschko said he wanted to take his time. He thought he was going to win Namdi. Maybe he took too much time because AJ was able to regroup.
Well, some people in the fight game believe that he let AJ off the hook. If he had stepped in a little bit more, the fight would have been over in the sixth round. If he had, like, after he had AJ down, then stepped right in and then run some of the combination and drop a couple of monster shots with a big right hand, we'll be talking about a different situation right now. So he let him off the hook. And in the fight game, you don't let people off the hook because they can come back and bite you. And that's what happened.
In the rounds that followed, Namdi, 7, 8, 9, 10, did you see Joshua getting stronger?
No, it was the opposite. Vladimir Klitschko was getting stronger. Going into the 11th round, it was a very close fight, Sonny, because if you go back and look at the scorecard after the fight, Klitschko was winning on one card in 95-93. AJ was 96-93 on one card. He was 95-93 on the second card. So going into the 11th round, it was a 50-50 anybody's fight because at that point, we're looking at those knockdowns and Klitschko was still coming on strong at the age of 41.
The penultimate round, round 11, two knockdowns. Talk us through that, Namdi. How did AJ end up being victorious?
Son, if you remember before the fight, we talked about him, AJ, mounting a body attack but fighting inside, because if you look at the early round, he was at the end of the jab and that Klitschko didn't allow him in. And in the 11th round, when he was able to make the adjustment, fought inside, was able to run his combination only to close it out with that huge uppercut, Sonny. I mean, those uppercut reminded me of the uppercut Buster Douglas landed on Iron Mike Tyson in Tokyo, Japan, 1990. The best uppercut in the game, Sonny. I was scared when that uppercut landed on Klitschko, and Klitschko was still standing, Sonny.
I read one line from an Associated Press boxing writer, Joe DiPaolo, and he said that in defeat, Klitschko proved mightier than he ever had in victory. Your thoughts?
Sonny, remember how we laugh about his jab and grab style? And we were worried that this would be the style he'll bring to Wembley Stadium. This is the best we've ever seen him, Sonny. And this is for a man that's been out of the ring for 17 months at the age of 41. Come on, you gotta give him his props. Not just props, you gotta give him mega props, Sonny, because he fought, man.
Mega props.
Mega props, man. Mega props.
For both fighters, Namdi, I mean, they both showed so much courage and heart getting up from those shots.
Before the fight, we said, if these two giants don't engage, if these two big boys don't engage, it's going to be no fight. That we needed drama. We needed entertainment. And they delivered it for 90,000 people and millions of fans around the globe. And everybody was excited.
The American referee stepped in the 11th round and stopped the fight, Namdi. Good decision.
People beginning to question the decision. If I was in Vladimir's corner, I would have thrown in the white towel, Sonny. Because at that point, AJ was right there on top to finish it up. And look at the way he walked back to his corner after he finished the job, man. The swagger there, bro. Niger swagger, bro.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Kick it, Dan!
Kick it!
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Monday night when the Boston Celtics host the Washington Wizards in the decisive Game 7 of their second round series. Here in Washington Friday night, my magical Wizards avoided elimination when all-star point guard John Wall hit a dramatic three-point shot in the final few seconds to lift the Wiz to a 92-91 victory and even the series at three games each. Let's listen in to the call from Wizards radio announcer Dave Johnson.
Ball handed to Otto Porter. Wizards have 1:20 left if they need to use it. Porter struggling to get it in. Better hurry, gets in the Wall. Clock moves, 6 seconds. Wall well beyond the arc for three. It's there! Oh, it's there! Oh, it's there! Wall flexes his muscle. Wizards lead 92-91, and that might have saved the season.
Unbelievable. I had a chance to chat with Dave Johnson before Wizards Celtics Game 6, and I agree with his call. An unbelievable finish. Now, history favors the Celtics to finish off the Wizards in Game 7 later Monday night. Boston has the proudest pedigree of any NBA club with a record 17 championships. Washington has one title way back in 1978 when the club was known as the Washington Bullets. The Celtics also have beaten the Wizards in all three games of this series that have been played in Boston, and they haven't lost to the Wizards in Boston in more than 3 years, but I have my fingers crossed that the Wizards can be magical in Boston in advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Awaiting the winner of the Celtics-Wizards series is the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers, who have not lost a game so far in the 2017 NBA playoffs. The Eastern Conference Finals are scheduled to tip off on Wednesday evening. Meanwhile, the Western Conference Finals tipped off Sunday when the Golden State Warriors rallied from a 25-point deficit to beat the visiting San Antonio Spurs 113-111. Golden State's two-time league most valuable player, Stephen Curry, had a game-high 40 points. San Antonio's all-star forward, Kawhi Leonard, left the game in the third quarter after he re-injured his left ankle. And the Warriors capitalized on Leonard's absence, going on an 18-0 scoring run and coming back to beat the Spurs. Game two in the series will be played Tuesday night at Golden State's Oracle Arena in Oakland, California. Like the Cavaliers, the Warriors have not lost a game so far in the NBA playoffs, and those two clubs could very well be heading for a showdown in the NBA Finals for a third consecutive season. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
What's trending on this Monday?
Let's stick with the NBA playoffs for a second. Some amazing stats I want to throw at you that are swirling around social media. This is the first time in NBA history that two teams have started 8-0, with the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers each starting 8-0. They have not lost yet. In fact, Golden State coming back winning another 9-0 after last night.
9-0, that's right.
So it's going to be very interesting to see if those teams can continue on that trajectory, as everyone is hoping. I think people want to see that rematch. It's a lot of what we're seeing on social media. But there are the Wizards fans out there and the Celtics fans out there still.
Go Wizards!
They're all cheering on their team still. This is a cool stat. It's the Wizards-Celtics series started before the Warriors-Jazz series and will end after the Warriors-Spurs series begins. So that gives you an idea of how long this series has been going on between Washington and Boston. Feels like it's been a whole season. But when we spoke last on Friday, we said that teams facing elimination at home in the postseason were 0-10. Well, it's 1-10 now after Washington won at home on Friday night in dramatic fashion.
Dramatic indeed.
So there's a lot of attention on that game tonight. Washington doesn't have a great record in Game 7s. A lot of people pointing to the Capitals losing in Game 7 to the Pittsburgh Penguins in the National Hockey League playoffs, but that doesn't necessarily translate over to basketball. By comparison, though, Boston has played in 30 Game 7s in the postseason, so they've been to Game 7 before. They know what pressure feels like. They know what they have to do. We'll see who can get it done. But interesting, if Boston can win tonight, they will go on to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, and they'll have potentially the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery tomorrow. There's a 25% chance that Boston could get that top pick. So things are exciting in Beantown, up as they call Boston, but people still saying the Wizards could beat them, and it's going to be an exciting game tonight.
And this VOA programming note, Andrew will have the result of the Boston Celtics-Washington Wizards on Tuesday's show. I'm going to be taking a little break. I hope I'm not in mourning over a Wizards loss, Andrew.
No, it's a celebration break. Like we see on social media, when the Cubs won the World Series, they had the fake excuse note that says, please excuse me from work or school or whatever because my Cubs won and I'm out celebrating. So hopefully it's because you're out celebrating.
Well, what else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, I'll tell you somebody who was celebrating last night up in New York, Derek Jeter, the great shortstop, number two for the Yankees. His number was retired by the Yankees and unveiled in their Monument Park up there in New York. Fascinating fact, the New York Yankees have now retired all single-digit numbers. Mm. So if you become, if anybody of our listeners out there ever become a New York Yankee and you want number, you know, five, which was Joe DiMaggio, or number three, which is the great Babe Ruth, sorry, out of luck.
So you got to go to the double digits.
You got to go to the double digits. But lots of attention on Jeter, hashtag Jeter Night, as they retired that number up there. Lots of tweets about the captain, Mr. November, as he's known, because the 2001 World Series was delayed till November after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He won, helped to win five World Series for the Yankees. And nice tribute from Budweiser, the beer company. They had a commercial that a lot of people are sharing that said, this Bud's for two, referring to Jeter's number two. And it shows these scenes all around New York where people are taking down the number two off of signs. They're scraping it off of windows from clocks, from phone numbers that are posted, and they replace it with that number two in the pinstripe circle that is the Yankees' number two, that it's there in Monument Park at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. And they said, when there's one two that's retired, all the twos get retired. And that phrase, this Bud's for two. So a lot of emotion. A lot of fans are packed into Yankee Stadium to see this. You know, Derek Jeter played for the Yankees for 20 years. Mm. The only team that he played for in Major League Baseball. So he is very much a part of Yankees lore and Yankees history. And he said that when you play in New York for 20 years, you learn that time flies, memories fade, but family is forever. And he said he's honored to be part of the Yankees family. So definitely a very familial feel last night. Some of the old Yankees players making their way up there to see him.
And speaking of family, Derek Jeter was honored on Mother's Day here in the United States. And I think his mother was on hand at Yankee Stadium for that touching ceremony, as well as his wife and maybe even his grandmother. I'm not sure. But
yeah, and his wife is expecting. She's due to have a baby later this year. So a nice early Mother's Day for her, I guess we can say.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, two big stories out of Madrid. First, Cristiano Ronaldo scoring his 400th and then 401st goals for Real Madrid. Scores 401 goals in 391 games over the course of 8 years. And this has sparked all kinds of conversation, calling him phenomenal, insane, and a lot of goat emojis, saying he's the greatest goal scorer of all time. So this is the G-Goat, greatest goal scorer of all time. But he now holds the record for most goals in European League football, tied with Jimmy Greaves with 366. Not far behind him, Lionel Messi with 346. But lots of talk about the greatness of Cristiano Ronaldo. And then also in Madrid, the king of clay, Rafael Nadal, winning his fifth Madrid Open. He's cleaned up on the clay court season. He won the Monte Carlo Masters. He won Barcelona. Now he's won Madrid. And it's picked up his 30th Masters 1000 title. He's tied for the most ever with Novak Djokovic. Lots of anticipation for the Rome Open, the Italian Open that's coming up this week, if Nadal can sweep the clay court season. And then, of course, he's got to win at French Open. If he can win there, he'll have his 10th Roland Garros crown. And we'll be talking about that tomorrow on the show with Giddy Nathan of Deadspin, a tennis writer there. He's going to fill us in on if there's anyone that could possibly beat Nadal, who it might be. And then look at the women's side as well. Now that Serena's out, Maria Sharapova's back in. We'll see how that shakes up for the women's side.
Once again, Andrew will be hosting the show on Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the May 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA's kicking it engineer, Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On August 8th of this year, Kenya will hold a general election. Kenyans will elect a president and his deputy, members of parliament, and country governors and assembly representatives. Kenya's previous elections, particularly the 2007 presidential election, have experienced violence and technical problems. In this context, stakeholders from across Kenya, including international partners, fear that this trend could continue and are working to make the August 8th elections as free, fair, credible, and peaceful as possible. In preparation for the August polls, Kenya's first nationwide primary elections, run by the political parties themselves, took place between April 13th and 30th. There was strong voter turnout, and hundreds of candidates for country and parliamentary positions were selected. However, there were also delays in delivering party voting materials to the right polling stations, allegations of pre-marked ballot papers, and names of some voters missing from the party registers. Kenya's National Police Service announced that there were also two deaths related to violence around the primaries. In a statement released on May 3rd, the heads of mission of 21 embassies and consulates, including U.S. Ambassador to Kenya, Robert Godek, called on all Kenyans to embrace peace and reject violence. They also urged law enforcement and administration to remain politically neutral and to protect all voters, activists, and candidates equally and fully. As friends of Kenya, we congratulate the many Kenyans who peacefully participated in the recent political party primaries by voting and supporting the integrity of the process. We also welcome the large number of women and young candidates and voters, said the statement. Together, millions of Kenyans step forward to exercise their constitutional rights and give voice to democracy. At the same time, Kenyans from all sides also rightfully expressed frustration with the serious organizational challenges and allegations of improprieties that affected many of the polls. Even more troubling were the unacceptable acts of violence and intimidation during the process. As Kenya now moves towards August 8th, the primaries highlight the importance of free, fair, credible, and peaceful general elections. We encourage citizens to vote for the leaders of their choice on August 8th. We have no favorite party or candidate. This is a decision for Kenyans alone to make.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lina Ormudu, host of Health Chat. Do you have trouble sleeping? Well, join us this Tuesday as we take a look at sleep deprivation and how to address it with our guest, Dr. Ken Redcross, internal medicine specialist and concierge doctor. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, what does the future hold for Liberia? Who will lead the West African nation when President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf leaves office in October at the end of her second term? 2 million Liberians have registered to vote, and nearly half of those are women. What's at stake in Liberia? On the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.